Genesis chapter 17 is our reading for this morning. As we continue this study of the wicked and the wonderful women of the Word of God. We considered Sarah last week. We began the series by looking at Eve, the wife of Adam. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering Sarai, the wife of Abraham. He considered her beauty, saw the beauty in her devotion to her husband. And that was seen also. Her beauty was also seen at the time of her disappointment, when the Lord did not at that time of her life bless her with a son or with a child. But nevertheless, we find that Sarah showed her devotion to her husband and her beauty, in that she did not chide or criticize the Lord. We noticed also that even in a time of disobedience, when Abraham went down into Egypt and told Sarai to tell those in Egypt that she was his sister and not his wife, she still obeyed. But then we had to consider not only Sarah's beauty, but we considered Sarah's blunders, and the terrible blunders that Sarah made. Because she had no child of her own, she offered to Abraham Hagar. This, of course, was supposed to solve a problem, but it far from solved the problem. It created more problems than it solved. It caused bitterness in the home. It caused hardness. It caused friction and division. And before they knew it, Abraham and Sarah were blaming each other for what had taken place. Because Hagar was with child, Hagar then began to speak against Sarah. Sarah became jealous, and friction arose between Sarah and Abraham. We then discovered that Hagar had to leave the home. She was put out of the house and went out because of the bitterness and the friction that was in the house of Abraham and Sarah. And how cruel it was for Abraham to allow an embittered Sarah to deal with Hagar in this way. After all, the initial cause of the problem was not Hagar, but rather it was Sarah. And callously the girl is put out of the home, sent off into the wilderness to fend for herself. Let us remember something here. These are the actions of two of God's children, Abraham and Sarah, belong to the Lord. And yet they dealt with Hagar in this most cruel and callous way, putting her out of the house, Sarah putting her out, and Abraham allowing it to happen. They had suddenly become very hard of heart. You see, sin makes men hard of heart. The children of Israel sinned against God in the wilderness. And Paul in Hebrews 3 and verse 13 speaks there about such hardness and about the heart getting hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens the heart. And without a doubt, the hearts of Sarah and Abraham had got very hard. The Spirit of Christ was not to be found in them at that time. Behave in a way that is contrary to God's laws, as Abraham and Sarah had done, and soon man will live as if he never knew the Lord at all. Such is the power of sin in a person's life. And so we have considered the beauty of Sarah. We have considered the blunders of Sarah. I want this morning to study and consider the blessings for Sarah. What Sarah had desired most of all since she became married to Abraham was that she would have a son or a child of her own. If only she had waited, the Lord in mercy would have fulfilled her desire. And with regard to the blessing of the Lord upon Sarah, we notice first of all the promise. The promise of God for Sarah. The Lord appeared unto Abram again and told him for the fourth time that he would be blessed with children. We read that this morning in Genesis 17. And verses 4 and 5. Neither shall thy name any more, or verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And then the Lord speaks to Sarah. Verse 16 of the same chapter. Verse 15, we might read there also, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Notice what age Abram was when Ishmael was born. Chapter 16 and verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old. Abraham was 86 years of age when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. And so between verse 16 of the chapter 16 and verse 1 of chapter 17, there is a period of 13 years. 13 years, that is very significant. And those who are aware of the meaning of Bible numbers will know that the number 13 is the number of apostasy. Number 13 is the number of rebellion or corruption and evil. And we see that for 13 years, following the giving of Hagar to Abraham and the birth of Ishmael, the Lord does not appear unto Abraham over that period of time. There's no reference to any communication of the Lord to Abraham during that period of time. During that period of rebellion. Because Abraham and Sarah had rebelled against the Lord, they'd broken God's commandments in giving Hagar unto Abraham, and Abraham had committed a sin.
with Hagar.
It was an immoral act and an immoral deed. And for 13 years, God was silent. He did not communicate with Abraham at all. But now what do we find? We find in chapter 17 and verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. There's the grace of God. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And I find that that is interesting. That when the Lord appeared unto Abram, he said to him, I am the Almighty God. Because he's about to tell Abraham and convey to Sarah that the both of them are going to have a son in their old age. And this would only be possible through the work of the Almighty God. The Almighty God. For the Almighty God can do what in the eyes of man is impossible. Look at verse 5 of chapter 17. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For the father of many nations have I made thee. Notice the Lord didn't say to Abraham, a father of many nations, will I make thee? He says, I have made thee. In other words, in the eyes of God, Abraham is already a father. He's already the father of Isaac, even though Isaac isn't born, hasn't even been conceived yet. But the point, or the part that I want you to notice is the fact that here in verse 5, Abram's name is changed. Abram belongs to the past. Abraham is a new name for the future. In other words, at this particular time, after the 13 years of silence, after the 13 years marking Abraham's sin and rebellion, God grants to Abraham a new start, a new beginning. And there you have the grace of the Lord. If and when we sin against the Lord and rebel against him, and we come before him and repent of our sin, in grace he will forgive us, and in grace he will give us a new start. He'll grant us a new beginning. Not only did he grant Abraham this new beginning, but Sarah also. And you look there in verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Now we know that Bible names all mean something. Take, for example, Abram. Abram means father of height. Abraham means father of a multitude. And you can see why his name is changed to Abraham. He was going to be the father of a multitude. Many nations would come, and kings would come from the loins of Abraham. Now Sarai has her name changed by the Lord to Sarah. Sarai means Jehovah is Prince. Sarah means Princess. And here we have the Lord and Sarah. The Lord is Prince. Sarah is the Lord's princess, as it were. And here you have the prince and the princess. The Lord and Sarah. And now that she and Abraham indeed have been reconciled to the Lord has promised to bless her. And I will bless her, verse 16. I will bless her. How we all look for the blessing of the Lord. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? The Lord then later visited Sarah. Turn over to chapter 18. In chapter 18, the Lord has come and visited Abraham in his tent. And we read in verse 9 of Genesis 18, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And we come down to verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. There's the promise. And if the Lord was going to give Sarah a son when she was 90 and Abraham 100, that would then speak to us not only of the promise, but of the power of the Lord in Sarah's life. It was not natural for a woman of Sarah's age to bear children, being 90 years old. Sarah did not think it was possible to have a child when she was 90. That was why we read in verse 12 that Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed, as it were, in the face of God. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? It says she laughed within herself, but the Lord heard. The Lord heard her laugh. That was the laugh of doubt. Sarah doubted that she could have a son in her old age. As far as Sarah was concerned, that was impossible. But then in verse 14, we read the words of the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you know, believer, sometimes when our faith is weak as it was with Sarah, and she thought it was impossible for her to have a child in her own age, sometimes all we need is a word from the Lord to strengthen our faith. And here Sarah receives a word from the Lord, and the word is this: is anything too hard for the Lord? And suddenly, Sarah's faith is strengthened. Evidently, that's what took place in the heart of Sarah, because it is written in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, through faith. So her faith has been strengthened. Through faith also Sarah herself received power. She received the power Where did it come from? She received it from the Lord by faith. Remember, she had initially laughed. She had initially thought, this is impossible. I don't have the power to have a child. But then the Lord said, is anything too hard for me? And suddenly Sarah's faith is revived. And she is given that power. Through faith also Sarah herself received power. The word power there means ability. She didn't think she had the ability. Under natural circumstances, she didn't have the ability, but God gave her the power to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. If only, believer, we had more faith. We see what faith brought Sarah. The power of God in her life. Oh, if only we had more faith, we also would see the impossible, that which is impossible in our eyes, made possible by the power of God. Notice that we have here the Lord's care of Sarah. Would you turn, please, to chapter 21? Chapter 21. And there we read in the opening verse, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. As he had said, as he had spoken. But notice that word visited. The Lord, we are told, visited Sarah. That word means to look over, or it means to look after. Sometimes our grandchildren are left with us for us to look after them. And it's a joy to do so. We look after them. We care for them. That's what the Lord did with Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. In other words, the Lord was looking after her. Looking after her interests. What a beautiful thought this is. That the Lord was looking after Sarah. Looking after her interests. He was looking after her interests and desire for a son. He was caring for her. Sarah thought that there was no possibility. Indeed, she testified to that. She testified that the Lord had shut up her womb, that she couldn't bear. And we pointed out that during that time of barrenness and disappointment, she did not charge the Lord falsely. She did not criticize the Lord. She accepted it. She was, of course, disappointed. But we find that all the while, the Lord was looking after Sarah. Taking care of Sarah. That brings into focus, does it not, the utter foolishness of Sarah when she offered Hagar unto Abraham that they might have a child in their home. Oh, if only Sarah had waited. The Lord was looking after her. The Lord was caring for her. The Lord would give her a child of her own if only she had waited. And dear Christian, there are those times when we think the Lord has forgotten about us. That the Lord has withheld his blessing from us. And those things we've asked him for and those things we've prayed about, we haven't had an answer as yet. And we think perhaps the Lord has forgotten. Take heart. The Lord cares about us and the Lord is caring for us. Someday, the Lord will visit us. Someday the Lord will visit us. The same as the expression is used in relation to Hannah, who became the mother of Samuel. The Lord visited Hannah. The Lord was looking after Hannah. I think that's a lovely thought. Demonstrating the tenderness of the Lord. His care of his people. He is the good shepherd, you know. He cares for his sheep. And when you feel lonely at times, and you suffer disappointment and discouragement, listen, the Lord is still caring for you. So there is the Lord's care of Sarah. And then we notice in that verse 1 of chapter 21, the Lord's confirmation for Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Three times in those two verses, the Lord confirms his word to Abraham and to Sarah as he had spoken, as he had said. It's as though the Lord is emphasizing to Abraham and to Sarah, I always keep my word. I always keep my word. Do you know how long Abraham had to wait for a son? From the first time God promised him a son, he had to wait 25 years. Abraham was 75 when the Lord first spoke to him, told him he would give him a son. And if you take the time to study, from when Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees to what we have in Genesis 25, you will find that the Lord brought his promise before Abraham regarding a son. Five times. He told him on five different occasions he was going to have a son. Five, the number of grace. See the grace of God in Abraham and Sarah's lives. We do well to pay attention to the details of Scripture. They're full of teaching. And here is the Lord then confirming to Abraham and to Sarah, I always keep my word. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And it says, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Our trust today is in a God, and confidence today is a God who always keeps his word. What promise has the Lord given to you? It's not fulfilled yet, but take heart, the Lord always keeps his word. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to fail you. He'll keep his word. As he did with Sarah. See, heaven and earth may pass away. But the Lord says, my word shall not pass away. My word will stand forever and I will keep it. We notice also the Lord's child for Sarah, the Lord's care of Sarah, the Lord's confirmation for Sarah and the Lord's child. Because certainly Isaac was a child from the Lord. Psalm 127 verse 3, we're familiar with those words, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. And now we see the rewarding of Sarah's faith in the Lord giving her a child, Genesis 21 verse 2. He rewards her faith. Notice that phrase in verse 2. At the set time. Go back to chapter 17 and verse 21. And there we read, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time. In the next year. Look at chapter 18. And chapter 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You see, the Lord in his sovereign will and wisdom has set the time when he would bless Abraham and Sarah with a son. Sarah and Abraham were not prepared to wait. Hence the introduction of Hagar. But if only they had have waited. Saved themselves a lot of heartache. The Lord had a set time. Three times then. Three different occasions we have the time mentioned here. You see, God does not work according to our timetable. God works according to his own divine will and purpose, according to his timetable. And God has his time. Solomon said to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. There was a time for Isaac to be born. Mordecai said to Queen Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that was true. God raised Esther up into the position of queen at that time when Haman was plotting the downfall and the wholesale slaughter of the Jews. And God raised up Esther at that time, just at that time, that she might defend the Jews. Remember the words of Paul in that last epistle to Timothy, for I am now ready. That's good to be able to say that, isn't it? He's talking about his death, and Paul says, I am now ready. In other words, I am now ready to die. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet God? Paul was. Paul says, for I am now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew his time had come. That word departure is an interesting word. It refers to a ship pulling up anchor, leaving the harbor and going out to sail the seas. Paul was now, as it were, drawing up his anchor. It's time to depart. Solomon said, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Indeed, consider the birth of Christ, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. What do we have written in Galatians 4 and verse 4? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. There was a time for him to come into the world. There was a time for him to die. Remember, he kept saying, my hour is not yet come. And when he had fulfilled all the prophecies, there was a time for him to die when he gave up the ghost. There was a time for him to be raised from the dead, as Jonas was 3 days in the earth, so in the fish's belly, so was the Son of Man 3 days in the earth. And believer and sinner alike, the time is set when the Lord will return. The time is set. And my, when you look at what's going on around us these days, you say, well, that time can't be very far off, when the Lord Jesus will return. So Sarah had to wait for the time when God would visit her, his time. And the Lord is the time set when he will visit his church. Psalm 102 verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. And the Lord had a set time to favor Sarah. As the prophet has declared, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The Lord has a time when he'll come and bless. So the Lord had visited Sarah and favored her and given her a son. Regarding the Lord's blessing of Sarah, we have seen the promise, we have seen the power. And now we look at the praising of Sarah. Having waited so long for a son, when Isaac was born, there was great rejoicing in the home of Abraham and Sarah. Chapter 21, Genesis and verse 5. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. God has made me to laugh. When Sarah first laughed, but she overheard the angels talking to Abraham, saying that she would have a son in her old age, That was the laughter of doubt. This is a different laughter. This is what you would call the laughter of delight. Notice what it says, or what Sarah said. God hath made me to laugh. And so there's the source of her laughter. It was the Lord who had given Sarah this laughter. It was the Lord who had given Sarah this happiness and this joy. Just like Mary. When Mary was told she would have the Christ child, we read in Luke 1 and verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." What a shame that many mothers today, thinking primarily, of course, of the ungodly, but many unsaved mothers, it's an awful shame that they do not acknowledge the goodness of God when the Lord blesses them with children. I remember visiting a mother in a hospital. A little baby was lying on the cot at the end of her bed. The curtains were around, and I could hear other mothers talking. And the language was unbelievable. The coarse language coming from these mothers who had just been blessed with a child and they couldn't find it in them to acknowledge the goodness of God. Instead, they were taking the Lord's name in vain. Sarah acknowledged the Lord's goodness. The Lord gave her laughter. Give her joy. God hath made me to laugh. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Our children are gifts from the Lord. Notice the sharing of her laughter. Sarah said, "All that hear shall laugh with me." That's natural, isn't it? When a daughter, a friend, a relative, a neighbor is blessed with a child and they come and tell us, why, we rejoice with them. We congratulate them and rejoice with them. Just as Elizabeth rejoiced when she heard that Mary is going to be the mother of the Christ child. They both rejoiced together. There was great rejoicing here and happiness with Sarah. And you have the son of her laughter. The source of her laughter, the sharing of her laughter, and the son of her laughter. Sarah rejoiced over the wonder of it all. She thought it was impossible. For in verse 7 she said, "Who would have said?" Who would have thought? Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age? Sarah's saying, oh, the wonder of it all. Who would have thought this was possible? Here I am in my 90th year, and I cradle a child in my arms. And she named him Isaac. That's the name, of course, the Lord had given to Abraham. Isaac means laughter. So when the Lord gave Abraham his son's name a year or so before, the Lord knew all about the joy and the laughter that son would bring into that home. And so he said, "You'll call him Isaac." And you think of it. Every time she would look upon her son Isaac, she would remember the laughter of that day. Every time she would be with Isaac, she would talk with Isaac, she would remember that day that God made her to laugh. She would remember the Lord's goodness. to her, blessing her with a son. We've seen the beauty of Sarah, the blunders of Sarah, the blessing upon Sarah. Now we come to the close of her life, and we must consider the burial of Sarah. Remember again the words of Solomon. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Genesis 23. And there in verses 1 and 2. And Sarah was 107 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. I want us to consider the glory for Sarah. Death for the child of God means instant glory. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we know that Sarah was promoted to glory when she died. For Paul informs us, after speaking of Sarah in Hebrews 11, he then says in Hebrews 11 verse 13, all these died in faith, with reference to Sarah and the others. She died in faith, and the person who dies in faith will be promoted to glory. Sarah was promoted to glory. But notice when she died. We are given her age in verse 1. 107 and 20 years. 127. Now we're sometimes told, never ask a woman her age. And who knows, perhaps that rule of thumb is founded on Scripture. Because did you know that Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age is given? We're given the age of Jairus' daughter, 12 years of age. But then children don't mind you asking their age. They're happy to tell you. But maybe it's different when you ask a woman her age. But yet we find that the age of Sarah here is given 127 years. And we read, and Sarah died. Her life on earth was over. What did Sarah do for the Lord in those 127 years? Well, indeed, we find that she was closely associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you turn to Matthew chapter 1, you find that Isaac is mentioned in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Isaac, Sarah's son, is mentioned in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And this is how Sarah will primarily be remembered, as the mother of Isaac, of the line of Christ. How will we be remembered in relation to Jesus Christ? Will we be remembered for what we have done for him? When she died, where she died. We are told, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. In Joshua chapter 20, we read about that very place. In Joshua 20, and verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem, and Mount Ephraim and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. My time's running out, so I'll have to hurry through this. Kirjath Arba, we read, and Joshua is a mountain. That's where Sarah died. Geographically, she died on high ground. Spiritually, we could say, Sarah died on high ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have known. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Sarah finished well, didn't she? Kirjath Arba. You'll find also in Joshua 20 that Kirjath Arba and these cities that are mentioned in verse 7 were cities of refuge. Someone was accused of doing something, they could rush into the city of refuge and be safe there until they were heard by the judges. Cities of refuge are a type of Christ. We can certainly say that Sarah died in Christ. She found Christ as her refuge, and she was safe in him. You have the grief over Sarah, and you have the grave of Sarah. Abraham purchased a piece of ground in Canaan, chapter 23, and verses 16 and 19. Where was that piece of ground? It's called Machpelah. The word means a spiral. It was in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Sarah was buried in the land of promise. You can say today, where is Sarah's remains? It's in the land of promise. You can say, where is Sarah's soul today? It's in the land of promise. It's in the New Jerusalem. It's in the promised land, even glory. It's good to die in Christ. It's good to know that when we go home, when we leave this scene of time, we're going to Canaan. We're going to the land of promise. I trust the Lord will bless the study in Sarah's life. The beauty of Sarah, the blunders of Sarah, the blessing of Sarah. And the burial of Sarah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord and gracious God, we bless thee for the word of the Lord. And again we remember the words of Paul when he said, these things are written for our learning. Lord, may we learn much from the life of Sarah. May we avoid, Lord, the blunders. And gracious Lord, may we seek and desire the blessing. And when we leave this scene of time, may we be remembered for what we did for Jesus Christ. Lord, undertake for us now. Bless us as we leave the house of the Lord. May we do so with the word of God in our hearts. May we meditate upon thy word throughout this day. Return us, Lord, to thy house this evening to meet afresh with thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.